Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
So, I want to clear something up. I said Conrad auditioned for Big Brother earlier and wore a one-piece. It was MILF Manor, and he wore a Speedo. Now, that is technically a one-piece, but...
You got it right. You got it right.
I just want to clarify.
Wait, I'm surprised you didn't get on.
Yeah, right. It was
wait,
not the...
So, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can keep talking about Conrad. I have something after.
No, please. That was my segue.
I have a treat for you. We were talking about juggling.
Oh, nice.
And I can do a little juggling right now. And because it's radio, you'll have to narrate it. Okay. It's two dog toys and a iPod or AirPod.
Oh, my gosh.
Ready?
This will be impressive. All right. Andrea Belke is juggling, if you're watching on the stream. Wow. That's impressive.
Okay, I'm actually impressed that I could do that.
How did you... So those are like random items you just found in the room you're in right now? That's really impressive.
I'm actually at my boyfriend's place. So I was looking... At my place, I have juggling balls.
Okay.
But I just had to grab some dog toys. But I wanted to prove that, if it's on the resume, I want to make sure that you know it's legit.
I didn't doubt you, but it is nice to have verification. I will say, I used to do stand-up comedy, and when I was touring in the 90s... I was the middle act on the show, and there was a guy who closed his show. I think it was in Des Moines or something, and he did this thing where he like juggled sticks, and he's like really trying to get the crowd into it. He's like, "How about that, folks? Huh? Look at this. Huh? Look at this." And they're giving him nothing, and I'm like, "Oh, this is awful." It was hard to watch because that was his big closing bit. Well, after the show, the club owner comes over to him and says, "We had another guy last week that juggled sticks, but he lit them on fire."
Oh.
So oh, wow. What you just did was much more impressive, Andrea. Okay, so I want to ask you. All right, so you've hosted, you've acted. You were on Survivor. You've played yourself. You've hosted, you've acted. What was being on The Marvelous Miss Maisel like? That's a great credit to have.
Yeah, so, okay, I will be honest with you. It was one line.
Okay.
The line was, "We're 34. Good. Pretty good. Yeah, so some of those credits, like I was on Blue Bloods, I was a Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I was on an HBO show. The HBO show actually was like 10 lines, but
nice.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I mean, the acting industry, because you're an actor as well.
I've got some acting credits, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, I mean, it's tough. You know, you audition, you'll be for something. I'll go in for bubbly blonde 30s morning show host and I won't book it. You know, it's like me. I've gone in for like reality star on like the small, you know, like you're watching a show and there's a TV show on in the background.
Right.
And I still won't book blonde 30s reality star. It's crazy.
Grew up on a farm, can juggle. Yeah. Next.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, obviously there's a lot more people that are way more talented than me, but a lot of times it really is a numbers game. It's the producers, the directors, they just, it's off of like the vibe they want, or we liked her, but we want to go with a brunette. So I've auditioned for a lot of shows and I did book Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and it was, you know, for one line, it was a full day shoot.
It's still a credit on IMDb, and that's carries a lot of weight. I would imagine you don't have to tell people it's one line, right?
Yeah, no, I want to be honest with you because it was actually really funny. It kind of ties back into Survivor. Is Rachel Brosnahan, who is the star of that show,
yeah.
She is a massive Survivor fan, which I did not know.
Oh, nice.
And so I show up to set, even though I wasn't in a scene with her, she was in the next scene. So she was getting ready. And when she saw me, she kind of like lost her mind because she is a big fan of Survivor and of me, I guess, for whatever reason.
You're a fan favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess she really likes me on the show. So she thought that it was a treat for her. Like she was doing so well that like they booked me to surprise her. Then she realized, oh, Andrea actually is an actor and like auditioned for this and everything. But she came up to me and just like, I am the hugest fan. And can I please, when we have breaks, can I just pick your brain on Survivor? And so, you know, on set, you'll be sitting around for hours and hours. And she would just ask me every single Survivor question. And she was the nicest. She's so nice, so talented, so cool. And we just talked Survivor every time there was, you know, downtime. So that was pretty fun. And then I saw her on the circuit at the Emmys and everything when she was, you know, when Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was doing so well in the circuit. So that was a really cool moment.
Those are the stories I just love hearing, is the backstage stuff, you know, the downtime, like when funny things happen or you have an interesting back and forth with someone. That's the stuff I absolutely live for. My guest is Andrea Belke. She's spending a couple more minutes with us here, being very gracious with her time, because she, if you see her resume, folks, yeah, I could paper my walls with your resume, with all the gigs you did. I don't even know. That's crazy. But would you give up, Andrea, what, like, you said you studied theater in college. You got some good acting credits. You have some really good hosting credits. And then you've got Survivor, obviously. If you had to pick, which of those avenues would you take? Where do you want to end up?
I would say that the TV hosting is my favorite. I think with acting, I'm a decent actor. I like the bit parts, but I'm not. I think I just kind of learned that I don't think I'm the best actor there ever was. Like sometimes, you know, I would leave like an audition and go, oh, is that good? I have no idea. Like, I think so. Or you get a call back. You know, I've had enough validation to know like, okay, you're in the running for these things. You're getting callbacks, you're working. But I think with TV hosting, I always feel like myself, and it really is, you know, it's you. And when I discovered TV hosting, it felt like such a better fit. Mm. And I finally felt like, oh, I found something I'm actually really good at. And then it's, you know, just like a lot of things in the arts, it's subjective. If you don't like me on TV, then, you know, that's fine. Right. But I just feel like it's the one thing that I know I can go in there and nail it. And I have full confidence. Whereas acting, I'm always like, oh, I don't know. And then reality stuff. I mean, I don't want to be, I don't really want to be just known as a reality star. Nothing against reality shows, but, right. You know, Survivor had its time, and it led to so many cool things. But it doesn't have longevity unless you right. know, you're doing some of these shows, if you're on like The Challenge or something, and you're, you know, you start at 20 years old and you're still on it at 40, like some people make a career out of it.
But
I like working. So I think that the TV hosting would be the one that I would choose.
All right. Couple more questions for you. We talk about movies and TV on the show a lot, and what we're watching. We do a lot of comedy on the show. But do you have a show you're watching right now that you can recommend? Something you're binging maybe, or cringe watching?
I'm the worst. It's honestly one of the most embarrassing things about me. It's like I'm really ashamed that I watch a lot of reality shows. I'm actually watching Big Brother.
Okay.
And I just finished Love Island. I'm not proud of it. Teen, I'm not proud of it.
Well, we all have guilty pleasures, right? I mean, that's not, there's worse things.
I watch the like murder docs. Like it's like I go on Netflix and there's like, oh, there was a murder. And then it's not something I'm proud of. But I find that my brain is wired a certain way where I can't sit down and watch something and pay full attention. Hmm. So a lot of times it's like, I just have it on while I'm doing dishes or cleaning, and I'll be watching some reality show where I don't really have to fully pay attention. Nice. So I'm not the best person to ask with that.
I do that too. Like
are you disappointed?
No, because every answer I get somehow is beneficial, because we get, oh, I watch this and this. There's some people that watch everything. There's some people that have one show that I've never heard of that's cool. And then there's, honestly, a lot of people don't say reality. So I'm kind of glad you said that. But, and that would be a good show to have on, or that kind of genre, because I try to watch Shogun and everything is in subtitles. And I like to play video poker on my phone while I'm watching TV, and I can't, like,
You can't do it.
I do want to
continue watching The Bear.
Yeah.
I really like the first season. I want to keep going. Same. I just keep putting it off because I think, okay, I have to be in the mindset. I'm so fidgety. Yeah. It's hard for me to even sit still. So I'm like moving and grooving, like trying to watch a show. So if I can have a show kind of on in the background while I'm doing other things or working, I think that's probably why you keep talking about my resume. It's probably like, honestly, at night, I just like sometimes keep working.
Well, you don't get a resume.
It's not good.
You don't get a resume. You don't get a resume that full by binge watching TV. That's not going to take
like
you
like at
you
night, honestly, I'll like, just like, I also do some photography, videography with my sister, and there's always something to edit. So, you know, at night, sometimes I'll put on something in the background and just like edit photos. And honestly, it's fun. It's fun for me. It's hard for me to really relax, but coming back to Milwaukee after New York, I find time to actually relax or play volleyball or do like, you know, I'm training for a half marathon. Like that's my way of like unwinding is maybe just like doing something outside, like athletic, I guess.
Wow. That's impressive. What about movies? Have you seen any of the summer blockbusters?
Name them. What have I
seen? That's a no, first of all.
No, it's a problem. And people actually point this out about me. And it's something I need to work on is they'll be like, how do you want to do acting? And you're not like up to date with like movies and TV. And like, that's a really good point. Like I should get into that.
Does it matter really? I mean, you're not going to just mimic someone you see in a movie. I mean, I'm not saying you can't get tips from acting, but.
You know where I get a lot of my acting experience is one side gig. Have you ever heard of standardized patients?
No.
So at a med school, they'll hire actors to portray people coming in with different ailments. And so I'm actually training. And so I've discovered this was a job because my sister's in PA school. She works with these standardized patients. A lot of them are actors. So I get hired to do like, you know, you have to get difficult news. Like you find out you have cancer or something, and it's helping the students get ready to do that in the real world. So it does feel meaningful because you're helping them. I have one coming up where I'm portraying a patient with schizophrenia. And so I'm like learning. So I just had a meeting for it today and it's in a couple of weeks, but I basically have to do that like 10 times in a row for different students. And honestly, it's like the best acting exercise I've ever had. So there's no rules. They're like, okay, so at some point when they give you the medicine, you have to throw it across the room, but you pretty much are hearing voices. And, you know, I'm really fascinated with psychology. I also do a lot of work in like the mental health space with NAMI, which is a mental health organization.
Right.
So I'm like, I want to do it justice and really learn about like how somebody who's hearing auditory hallucinations would act. And then you're helping out these students. So I might not watch movies, but I'm, you know, portraying patients with serious conditions.
I'm going to be the guy that goes in and has pink eye, and I'm going to act like my world is, or viral conjunctivitis is the actual term. Hey, this is so much fun, Andrea. It's been great getting to know you. Thank you for being on the show. If you're ever up in the Green Bay area, come in and juggle in the studio. You see all this space, you can watch color TV and you can juggle in the chair. It lends itself to all of your talents. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Wisconsin's lucky to have you. Discover Wisconsin's Andrea Belke. Hope we can do it again. Have a great night. Thanks.
Have a good night.
All right. That's Andrea Belke. Check out Discover Wisconsin. She has a website too. And check out Conrad on MILF Manor coming up. You don't want to miss that either. This is Peach Wobbin Nightlight. More fun. We're going to do some comedy next. Just like the sun. Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Nightlight. That was fun. Andrea Belke. I am a fan. She is a hardworking host and actress, and that was a lot of fun getting to know her. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you can still get in on the fun. Do celebrity endorsements of political candidates influence your vote? Let us know. We will read your texts before the end of the show. Right now, I'm very excited. This is a great pivot we have coming up here. We're going to go from hosting in TV to theater. And I'm going to bring on my next guest right now. He is the author, or the playwright, I should say, of Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness. I absolutely love that title. It's a hit stage show that took Madison by storm, and now I understand it's traveling. The writer of the show joins us now, Alan Talaga. Alan, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. Great to be here.
Am I saying your last name right? Because I even emailed you to make sure I was, but it's still
Talaga. Oh, no, you nailed it. Knocked it out of the park.
Okay.
Talaga.
All right, I love it. Is that when the, I used to teach, well, go ahead.
Oh,
sorry.
When I used to teach, when I used to teach high school, I got all the different ones. So I definitely got Talladega a lot.
Oh yeah.
So
Mr. Talladega.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what Talaga is solid.
What kind of a name is that? Is that like Italian or?
So it's actually Mongolian.
Oh,
from,
wow.
When they took over Poland. So it's a Polish name, but originally came from Mongolia.
That's so weird because my last name is Schwaba and nobody knew where the heck the name came from. My grandpa would just say Polish, but it's a Kashub name that mm-hmm. was from the Danzig region between Poland and Germany, as I understand it. And they were their own people. But to describe all that to someone you don't really know that well, it's easier just to say Polish German. So
yeah, in the Philippines, the word Talaga actually means really, but like a... This is kind of obvious. You yeah. should know this.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
If you Google my name, yeah, it's a bunch of Paul Blart 3. It's a bunch of other stuff I've done. And then it's a bunch of, you know, Allens from the Philippines who are doing actions that are not that smart. So,
well, okay. So you're smart. You're an academic. I did some research on you today. You have a position at UW and you're like mm-hmm. this respected coach and you do. And then you have this other thing where you wrote this. Like when we had Rob Thomas on the show a couple weeks ago, and Rob was telling us about Paul Blart 3. I'm like, what? And then Blart of Darkness. I absolutely love that. Tell us where you got the idea for this show. And I understand when I read your bio, you had to write it, which I think is so cool. I love people that get passionate about something and just have to do it.
Yeah. So it, you know, it comes back to my friends and I were joking about all of these kind of called legacy sequels, you know, all the movies where they bring back the old hero, you know, Indiana Jones in his 80s. You know, we have a new Beverly Hills Cop, even though Eddie Murphy is now not that young cop anymore.
No, he is not.
So it's all these ones where they just keep bringing back the heroes. And so we were in just sort of a group text joking about who would be the funniest character to bring back for one of those. And I thought Paul Blart. And then I just kept on thinking more about the idea and coming up with more of these jokes. So I sat down and wrote it out as an outline. And then I'm looking at it as this 3-page outline, like, oh man, there is a whole actual script here. And it sat there as an outline for a couple of weeks before I was like, no, I have to sit down and actually write this thing. And, you know, as I'm going through it, I'm going like, this is either the best thing or the worst thing I've ever written. And I'm not going to be able to know until it's done.
Well, that's the great thing about theater is when you can perform it. And it was the same thing when I used to do stand up. You write a joke that day, you perform it that night, you have instant feedback. Like with theater, you know, when you can watch something with a live audience, you just can't beat that. You know right away whether you've done something good or not. So I think that's really cool, and I applaud you. Is this the first, you've written sketches, I know, but is this the first full-length yep. play you've written?
Yeah, I wrote a couple screenplays that were just never going to get done. But this one, I really started off, particularly when I looked at that outline, going like, you know, there's only about 8 characters, and there's only a few sets. We could actually do this. And that was sort of the impetus of versus one more script that's just going to sit in a closet and never be actually filmed, because even though I had a videography background, the notion of actually going and creating that was just going to be too much work. But I knew a bunch of people in Madison Theater. And so, you know, I reached out to Doug Reed, who at the time was the artistic director of Broome Street Theater. And he said, if you write this script, we will put it on. And then he ultimately ended up becoming the director for the script.
Wow. Nice. So did you have issues with, you know, Paul Blart, the franchise, the movie franchise? You seem kind of anti-franchise, which I think is hilarious. And you're kind of lampooning the idea of it. But what happens? Do they know? Are they aware of this play?
To my knowledge, they have no awareness of this. I mean, it's weirdly popped up in a couple of things. Like there was an article on the legacy of the 2 Paul Blart films. For anybody yeah. listening, not aware, you know, Paul Blart Mall Cop and Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 were 2 comedy films from, I think, 2009 and 2014. But they have a large fan base that's still yeah. passionately devoted. So some article that came out about that, And then all of a sudden there's a little paragraph that says, you know, they have this weird legacy, including a full play called Paul Blart 3 Blart of Darkness. I'm like, what? And if you actually go, it may not be on there now because Wikipedia changes all the time, but like on the Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 Wikipedia page, there's now a reference to this play. So it's wild to see that get that kind of pickup.
Do you
but
think
people love
would,
these films?
Would they come after you?
I mean, I would hope not. But you know, it's, I think we it's a post-apocalyptic play. Yeah. It's definitely a play, not a film. We're not trying to pass it off as a legitimate canon sequel, but you know, that we always run that risk of a cease and desist order. So it's always the plan of, right, all right, what could we do to change it enough to make it legally distinct,
right,
if that letter came down the line?
Two A's. Paul Blart, A-A-R-T. I'm just throwing
exactly.
that out there. That's so cool. So my guest is Alan Talaga. He is the author of the play, the playwright of the play, Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness. You've had a lot of success in Madison. And I love, you know, what you were saying before when you sat down and you said you had to write this. Years ago, I went to the WGA and I saw the great screenwriter Paul Schrader speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I love when people say, I wrote this script last night. I stayed up all night. Please read it. As opposed to, I've been working on this script for 18 years. Will you take a look at it? Because he said, when you're that passionate about something, like, how long did this take you to write?
Well, that's the funny part is I wrote it in, I think, maybe a matter of weeks. And this was a long time ago at this point. It was 2019. And we were all set to have it be a production in the summer of 2020.
Oh, my gosh.
But then certain things happened and we weren't doing that much theater.
All right. So my guest is Alan Talaga. We're talking about Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness, his new hit stage play that is about to go on the road. We'll talk more about that. We've got award-winning news coming up here at Civic Media during the break, and then we'll jump into more about Paul Blart 3 with Alan. Alan, great to have you here. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A dear rock star, and it breaks my heart. From a dear rock fall.
Conrad, did you understand this text from Cam in Appleton?
I did not.
It says young. I'm going to steer clear of that one. Sorry, Cam. I don't understand what you were going for there. Sherry from West Coast, Northwest Coast, California says news. East, northeast, south, northeast, west, south. Sherry's usually on point, but I got to say, I don't understand that either. Conrad, help.
No,
oh, you're a big help. Steve from the 920 in Florida says, celebrity endorsements from both left and right have never influenced me due to them being in another tax bracket and not having a true understanding of the hardworking Americans trying to make ends meet. What I look for is real truth from the media, including the talk shows, to truly talk about the candidates in both the left and the right so we can all make a logical decision. Bottom line is I look for the candidates that will look out for the best interests of both sides of the aisle. Wow, that was a very eloquently stated, Steve. Thank you, and very level-headed. You've raised a fine son, and Conrad shares your level-headedness. Jim from Appleton says, celebrity endorsement for politicians affect me as much as endorsements for Carter's little green liver pills. I don't know that. I don't know that product.
I don't know that either, but it...
Jim, I hope your liver's okay,
though. I think
okay,
I get the point on that.
I'm worried about Jim's liver now. Conrad's mom says a lot of celebrities are so full of themselves that you can't take them seriously. Wouldn't it be funny if I assumed she was talking about me, Conrad? Like I thought I was a celebrity and just started cursing. Steve also says, Pete, ask Andrea if her dad is royal. They live right next to Conrad's cousin. Of course,
McChange.
I didn't see this when she was on the on the air. Conrad, you should have reminded me of this. This would have been fun. They live right next to Conrad's cousin, the McChains, in Random Lake. Very cool. And then, and that's it. And then Carol Lynn on the stream watching on Facebook says, do you find some people's voices very annoying? Yes, I do. What are you talking about, Carol Lynn? Mine? It's okay. You can insult me. That's why I'm here. All right. Let's get back to, what we were talking about before. If you have not seen the show, Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness, it just, as I understand it, it completed a run in Madison, and now it's going on the road. I have the author of the play here, Alan Talaga, joins us on Nightlight. Alan, tell us where people can see this. Is your Madison run over?
So we are actually coming back to Madison for one day only. But So, you know, the play, it takes place 15 years after civilization collapsed. And obviously, Pete, why did civilization collapse?
The ozone layer.
People started shopping online.
Oh dear, that'll do it.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Malls were the only place where we all interacted.
That's true. You
know, all races, all classes, urban and rural, we came together and shopped as one. So in this post-apocalyptic town, they've built a mall, but obviously that mall is going to need a protector. So they're going to have to go out into the nuclear wastelands to recruit the legendary Paul Blart. So the play, we are in the Minnesota Fringe Festival, and the Fringe Festival is just a mix of all these sort of weird grab bags of shows. So it's really, really interesting to be there with, from these incredibly earnest and beautiful puppet shows to dance acts to one person acts to other plays. It's just such a mix. And so we're in Minneapolis, particularly if you got, you know, anybody up in the northeastern part of the state that would want to make that little trip. If you do come from this radio show, I will buy you a beverage after the show.
Hey, there you go. That's a pretty good deal.
And we're up there on Thursday, tomorrow, the 8th, Saturday, the 10th, and then Sunday, the 11th. And then we're back. We're going to be in Madison. We're doing two shows on Sunday, August 18th, because that was when we could get into the theater.
So what is the theater in Madison? If people are listening right now in Madison, we're on statewide. So where can they get tickets for the Madison shows? Are there still tickets left? And what theater?
Yeah, so that's going to be, for the Madison ones, we're at Broom Street Theater.
Okay.
So that's in Madison. And then if you just go to Eventbrite and then search for Paul Blart 3, you'll see us. So there's two shows that day. We still do have some tickets left, but I'm already surprised by how many have sold. So it'd be good to move towards those sooner rather than later if folks have interest. And then after that, we go to Indianapolis, which is a little outside of your broadcast range. But if you know, and you know, if any of y'all know anybody in Indiana looking for a good time, we're doing that the weekend of Thursday the 22nd through Saturday the 24th.
In August.
That'll wrap up our tour.
Oh yep, my God.
All this month.
Well, wrap up. I mean, you got to keep it going, right? I mean, you got to like find other theater. Like if it's killing in these other places, I would think you'd want to keep that run going, you know?
At some point I have to let this go and move on to other creative works. This has been a long time going, but I mean, that is one of the things that is exciting is some other theater companies in other cities have reached out, not to the point that we can like finalize and announce, but one thing that I find is really exciting is the potential to have some other company take the script, put on the production, and then I'm just going to go and I'm going to know nothing about what they're doing, nothing about the choices they've made, and just show up to, I almost said the first city that's going to happen, but I'll wait for them. But I'm just going to get to show up and then just sit in the audience like anybody else. So that's going to be incredible.
Alan, was it hard to cast a show like this? Like I'm assuming it's very funny. And, you know, obviously the subject matter is just so crazy and fun. When you look for actors, were you looking for people who were funny or who were good actors? Did the comedy come out of the characters, or were you looking for people who were sort of hamish, if you will?
See, they had to be good actors because
Love
the
it.
Moment they turn to the audience and go, wink,
right?
You know, you've broken it. So they're in a post-apocalyptic world and they've invested all of their life, like they're putting their lives on the line for a shopping mall. So for that, it has to be people who can take that seriously and, you know, they act like they're in Mad Max. They just don't realize they're in a comedy. And so there's one of our actors, her name is Alyssa, who delivers some of the most ridiculous lines with the most, with an earnestness and a depth of feeling that script frankly doesn't earn. And it is the funniest thing you will ever see is this girl saying lines like, "For a mall cop, justice never takes a holiday." Like it's Shakespeare, you know, it's incredible.
So I also noticed in your, have you seen the Day of the Dead, or Dawn of the Dead, is it, where they, the zombie movie in a shopping mall from like 1979, maybe?
Oh, classic, yeah. Classic. That was, you know, when my mom and now stepdad were dating, there were a lot of times I just had access to his very incredible VHS collection.
Nice.
And the day I found Dawn of the Dead was a very special day. So I love that film, classic film.
Was that at all an influence here?
No zombies. No zombies.
Okay.
And, you know, yeah.
That's funny. You said in your bio that I read earlier today, you hadn't seen the two Paul Blarts. Has that changed? Have you seen the films now?
No, I read the Wikipedia pages.
Wow.
I didn't want to have it be too similar. Once again, trying to avoid that cease and desist letter. So, but
yeah,
you know, the coolest part is been seeing the people who are really into the Paul Blart films and come and say, no, this actually kind of works as a continuation. And then people who have no idea what it is other than he's a mall security guard and he rides a Segway scooter.
Right.
You know, beyond that and still like the show. So it's kind of cool that both these Paul Blart super fans, which, boy, the director Doug and I have been astounded by the number of Paul Blart super fans that are out there. It is a substantial audience. And the people who have no idea who Paul Blart is can both come and enjoy the show.
I actually saw the film with my son, who was like 8 at the time, and loved it because it was something, there was something for both of us. It's silly, it's fun, it's sweet. So my guess is your film is not as sweet and it focuses more dark comedy. Would that be correct?
Actually it is meant to be, it starts off dark. Cause I mean, it is a lot about what would it look like to rebuild after something like that. And obviously we've chosen a silly take on it.
Right.
But I mean, people have walked away saying it was a very emotional experience. And I was like, I was just trying to write some jokes. But if that's where you're taking it, I love it. If you feel like, you know,
they don't like to laugh about No Bed Bath and Beyond. So you said in your bio also, it said you've written hundreds of sketches. And you, I think you said you did stand up. I read somewhere where you were an occasional comedian. How did you make that leap to this? How did you get started in comedy?
Oh, well, so I got started, I mean, back in college, I did a sketch group with a couple friends of mine. And then from there, you know, when you're in some of these scenes, they're pretty small. So you hang out with the stand-ups and then it becomes very, very easy to go and do an open mic. So for a long time, I was going between stand up and sketch, and both are great and both require a lot of work. But, you know, there was the point where I was like, I really kind of want something a little more durable, something, you know, that I can really say, hey, I put a lot of effort into one big product. And so that kind of made the scripts tempting, particularly because you mentioned a kid. You know, I had a kid and then suddenly stand up became way harder to do.
Right.
So I thought, hey, I'll write a play script. Then other people can produce it and I won't spend any time away from home. Now I'm going to Minneapolis and Indianapolis and we're here, there and everywhere with this script. So that didn't work out, but it was a great idea that I was going to spend more time at home.
That's the price of success. That's a good problem to have. My guest is Alan Talaga. He wrote the hit stage play, Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness. You can check it out if you are in the Minneapolis area. What are those days again, Alan?
That is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
August 8th.
Okay.
And then Saturday the 10th and Sunday the 11th.
Okay, perfect. And it is coming back to Madison.
Yep.
So you want to move on that, and you can get more information at Eventbrite and type in Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness. Did you write Isthmus of Misfits?
No, that was a different thing. I wrote for the paper Isthmus. My friend and I did the political cartoon there for almost a decade.
Oh, nice.
Which is hilarious because like he and I would write the jokes together, but he would draw it. So everybody thinks that I can draw and I'm the world's worst artist, but I'm technically an award-winning cartoonist, which to That's me will cool. always be the funniest thing I've ever done.
So is it hard to get, it seems like there was a time when political satire or cartoons were so popular that you had Doonesbury and, you know, all these, Doonesbury, but I know there were others. How is it now? Is it hard to get those published, or do you have some place where you showcase them?
Oh, I think we honestly just wrapped up like kind of when COVID shut down. Okay. Isthmus is back. It's really strong nowadays, but they kind of shut down for a while in COVID. And we were like, you know what? We had done this for 9.5 years. We were looking to stop at 10 anyway. So it seemed like a good stopping point. You know, knowing when to walk away from a creative endeavor is important as well.
Yeah, for sure. What do you have any other shows you're going to work on? Do you have another idea in mind you want to start?
Yeah, well, so right now I'm working on the script for the next play, and we'll hopefully be putting that on, you know, probably 2025. So it's exciting that this, you know, the tour is great and we're really enjoying that. And so I'm just right now trying to put all the focus on that. And then in the fall, you know, get back to the script that's like 30 pages in.
Okay.
Because boy, whew, doing a show in one city is a lot. Doing on a bunch of different stages when you have fight choreography and all sorts of props, and and every stage is a different size and a different shape.
Can I run a pitch?
That's a challenge.
Can I run a pitch by you?
Absolutely.
Okay. You have Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness, play on words from Heart of Darkness, written by I think it was Joseph Conrad. Conrad is the producer. I think you should tie in some kind of Joseph Conrad something. I don't know. I'm spitballing.
Yeah. I mean, Conrad connected across the state. I think
exactly.
This is...
You got a built-in audience.
Exactly.
Can you hang around for another couple of minutes? I want to ask you what you're watching, and I want to see if you've seen any of the summer blockbusters. That's coming up next.
Absolutely.
Alan Talaga is here. He is the writer of Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming back.
Towered foresight isn't anything at all. Why the sky and tell the sky and leave the sky and tell the sky. What is it?
All right, so Steady Eddie, my new favorite. Let's save these. Let's focus on Alan right now, Conrad. Don't let me forget to read these texts. We got some great texts tonight on our questions, so we'll get to those in just a few minutes. Alan Talaga has been generous enough with his time to spend a few more minutes with us here. His show is Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness. And it's going to play in Madison again. Go to eventbrite.com and type in Paul Blart 3. If you're in the Minneapolis area, you can see it tomorrow night if you want to make a road trip. It sounds like a lot of fun, and it's gotten great reviews and full houses, so you can't beat that. You said you have a position at UW, Alan, and you're a coach. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so a lot of people think that means, you know, football, baseball.
Yeah.
And I would like to be making those salaries, but it's actually – it's a lot more of working with, people in the workforce across the state to kind of build up their skills and capacity.
Right.
So it's a lot of fun. It's really rewarding. And sometimes you get those special times when you get to really see, you know, people grow and develop and get, stronger and be the most capable version of themselves they can imagine.
Yeah.
And then I go home and go to Paul Blart 3 practice. So my days are real wild.
That's fantastic. Are you watching anything right now on TV? What do you like to watch on TV when you're done writing for the day? You put the pen down. Nobody writes with a pen anymore. But what do you watch at the end of the day, Alan?
You know, I got to be honest. Like right now, it is particularly with the play practice and everything. It's usually I come home and I put on some 30-year-old episode of The Simpsons or Seinfeld.
Love it.
Right now, it's definitely the like because I like to watch good TV, but I need to have that energy. And so if I'm going to start watching something at 10:30, it's going to be, I want 22 minutes. I can be checking my phone because I've seen this four times in my, you know, at least in my life. So that's where I've been on that. But I have been keeping up on the summer blockbusters better than usual. So.
Oh, fantastic. What have you seen?
Yeah. So I went and saw Twisters.
Yeah.
Which itself is a legacy sequel, even though they didn't bring any actors back. But I saw that one over in the drive-in theater. You know, Highway 18. It's about halfway between Madison and Milwaukee.
Oh, that's fun.
Beautiful, beautiful outdoor theater. You know, they're trying to sell it, so this could be their last year. So I knew I wanted to see something out there.
Yeah.
And Twisters, perfect drive-in movie.
Absolutely.
Know, just to get that lawn chair out and watch it under the stars. I will never watch it again because I imagine it will not be that good of a movie in any other situation. But in that environment, it was perfect.
That does sound like fun. What else have you seen this summer? You said you have a young child. Have you gone to see some of the family-friendly films?
Oh, yeah. We saw, you know, Inside Out 2. We
loved it.
The other one we saw at the drive-in was Despicable Me 4, which, you know, that was certainly a film. but, you know.
Ripe for parody, you go, maybe?
Well, you go because the kid's excited. So that was really fun. And then I saw a couple that are not so kid friendly. Long Legs with Nicolas Cage is a very scary guy. That was a real, real good horror movie. Normally I'm not, you know, into all of those, but I really, really like that one. And then, you know, as was obligated by being a man in his early 40s, I had to go see Deadpool and Wolverine. And that was fun partially because the Paul Blart 3 script was inspired by Logan, the old Wolverine movie. And I was like, let's make this into a comedy. And now they've done that with a billion-dollar movie. They took old Wolverine and made it into a comedy, and they made a lot more money than we'll ever make off of Paul Blart 3. So more power to them.
That's great. I liked Long Legs, but I was sort of, I don't know. I didn't love it. It's not my genre, but I almost wish I didn't know that was Nicolas Cage because I don't think I would have.
Yeah, if they had only put it in at like the real end, because it is. I mean, you know, he had some bad financial things happen with something like wasn't his attorney or his accountant stole a bunch of his money, so he had to make a bunch of those really cheap, you know, straight to DVD movies.
He made many films in the early 2000s that were like Netflix. I don't know if Netflix financed them, but they were set in Louisiana because they had tax credits. Nicolas Cage was there. And it was like, wow, I felt like I was seeing the same movie over and over, but. He's great.
But I feel like he's paid off his debts. And so now we can do these weird little movies now, you know? He did that one. There was the one where he was Dracula a year ago. That one wasn't very good, but once again, he was great. And
he's great. Yeah.
He makes some of the weirdest choices in film, but they almost always land.
But I like that. And he's sort of, he's fame proof in the sense that like Willem Dafoe will make some clunkers and, but he's not going to be affected by that. Whereas, you know, and maybe because he doesn't open films, he's not the lead, whereas Nicolas Cage is. But I feel like Nicolas Cage circumvents that kind of too. He's just still Nicolas Cage, and he can be great when he wants to be.
Exactly. And so he was great in that one. I agree. It's not a perfect film, but man.
Yeah. No, it was enjoyable.
He was so good
in that. Alan, this was fun. I hope you, I wish you a lot of luck with your endeavors
with
Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness. I love the title, and I'm sure I'd love the play as much too if I can. Keep that run going because I'd love to see it sometime.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, until that cease and desist letter comes, I think there'll be some long legs for this.
Oh, I like
you'll get nicely. To go to some other places.
Very nicely done. I can tell you're a writer. Okay, that's Alan Talaga. Thanks so much for your time tonight, buddy. Don't be a stranger, and good luck with the show. Break a leg.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So we've got our question tonight was, let's finish up some of these texts. I love this question because we've gotten some crazy answers. Do celebrity endorsements of political candidates influence your vote? That is the question. And we've had kind of an assortment of answers here. Conrad's dad gave a very good one, I thought. Jim from Appleton says, way back in the day, television was new. Art Carney and Jackie Gleason ruled the airwaves. Carter's, a pharmaceutical company, sponsored a lot of shows, and what they advertised the most was liver pills that happened to be green in color. Using the phrase, little green liver pills was one of my grandmother's favorite sayings. That's great, Jim. Thank you for sharing that, because I do kind of remember that, but not. I'm glad you provided some context. That's great. And I'm glad your liver's okay. Steady Eddie, my new favorite texter name from the 608, says, Pete, celebrity endorsements don't usually influence my political opinions. But a huge disappointment for me was when I heard that Jack Nicklaus had publicly endorsed Donald J. Trump for president in 2020. Say it ain't so, Jack. He had so much respect and admiration for Jack. As a man and a golfer, I remain sad and bewildered by his judgment as far as Trump is concerned and have lost a lot of respect for Mr. Nicklaus. Don't know if he has endorsed XXX President Orange Porn in 24. Hope not. Steady Eddie with the shades. Thank you, everybody, for the text. Great stuff, as always. I'd like to thank Andrea Belke and Nathan Talaga. Check out Paul Blart 3, Blart of Darkness, tomorrow night on the show. We've got Alicia Alstetter, a comedian and actress from Milwaukee, and the punk band Radio for Pets is in the studio. I'm Pete Schwabe. Thank you for listening. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.